I'm Dr. Roger Steiner, director of the Gavin Herbert Eye Institute and professor and chair of ophthalmology at the University of California, Irvine. Welcome to Medscape Ophthalmology Insights, coming from the American Academy of Ophthalmology meeting in New Orleans. Joining me today is Dr. Burkhardt Dick.
Happy to be here.
Thank you very much for taking the time to join us. Dr. Dick is professor and chairman at the Center for Vision Science, Ruhr University Eye Hospital in Bochum, Germany. We'll be discussing the latest developments in femtosecond lasers for refractive cataract surgery with a particular international perspective. Dr. Dick, you have, if not the largest, probably as close to the largest experience of anybody in the world using the femtosecond laser for cataract surgery. So could you just start now by telling us, since we were here a year ago, how this has changed in your practice patterns and how you view the laser today?
Well, it changed a lot. To be honest, interestingly, more and more patients are informed about the potential to use the laser in cataract surgery. I've done now about 2,450 cataract surgeries with laser on a commercial base, and the laser is placed in the OR. It takes me the same time for my cataract surgery as a standard care, but it's a shifting. The lasing takes about 2 to 2.5 minutes, but this is then cut from the intraocular procedure because the intraocular procedure is then shortened, of course, because everything is done.
Now, you have the OptiMedica Catalyst platform. Yeah. So are you keeping the patient on the same fixed bed?
Yes,
and just swiveling it?
Yes, I do. The good thing is that you can just go into the eye first, for example, if there is a small pupil or something like that, and you then go under the laser and do the lasing, and then go back and just take the microscope again. So the good thing is you can do anything in this room, and that means the quick procedure then.
So from a physical point of view, you can get access to right eyes and left eyes adequately?
Right, exactly, yep. No problem.
Yep. Great. Okay. So now tell us a little bit about standard results, and then I want to get into some special cases.
Well, we conducted prospective, randomized, intra-individual comparative trials because I'm interested more in the evidence base behind all this. And interestingly, it turned out that inflammation was a little bit less, but and the best-corrected visual acuity turned out to be, for the first week, better than the standard care. This was one eye standard and the other eye femto cataract surgery in the same patient on the prospective randomized trials. Endothelial cellulose was comparable, was a little bit less in the femto group, and we found, of course, a tremendous reduction in effective phaco time because of the full fragmentation that the laser offers. It lasers outside of the capsulotomy from the inferior to the entire part, and my complication rate, so to say, is extremely low with this laser. It is on a prospective scale. We are HD videotaping everything and documenting everything, and another medical doctor documents everything. And we found a 0.16% rate of anterior as well as posterior capsule tears.
So all capsule tears, and back,
yes.
0.16,
percent? Yep.
So this is quite different than that initial reports with the initial users of a different platform out of Australia that created quite a sensation, as you know.
Yeah.
So do you have special maneuvers that you think allow you to not have like gas pressure rupturing the posterior capsules, for example?
But these are different lasers, and the different lasers have different approaches. They have different numerical apertures, so they are using different energy, for example, as well as the fragmentation is different. So what we found, for example, that we can do a hydrodissection as usual. That means we don't have these difficulties with cortex aspiration or something like that. And it's all about taking care around it, of course, because, for example, if there is a movement in the patient, maybe breath or something like that, or move the eye or something like that, you need to take care of the patient. That means, for example, I say to the patient, breath in, stop, like in X-ray, and then I do the lasing, which takes about less than 2 seconds, and then keeping on. Because the lasing of the capsulotomy is the most critical issue, so to say. The detection of the surfaces is automatically, you can just confirm it, but it's on a 3D spectral domain OCT, so it's extremely precise.
Well, and you mentioned about the anterior capsulotomy. As you know, there was a paper just coming out now showing irregularities right. of the anterior capsulotomy. Right. And you just went over a very specific maneuver you do, the breath right. holding. And do you think that that actually is what was going on in that paper and why they found irregularities?
Yeah, many other issues. And we just sent a letter to the editor, which are you, and addressing many issues. For example, it's a central dimple down technique. That means you go into the eye first with the cannula and dimple down at the center of the capsulotomy so that the forces are bent inwards. 99% in my all-comers approach, the capsule is already free. But sometimes, because of corneal scars or something like that, it's not free. There are little adhesions, but you can then, with the central dimpling down and with this force that's directed inwards, you can take it in so there are to reduce the number of tacks, for example. So I think these are key features. There are so many things that we share in user meetings, for example, to prevent this. Because if you look in experimental trials, they've all shown with the femto treatment that there's even more resistant.
Right.
So I think, from my perspective, this is the same as with my manual capsulorhexis. The capsulotomy is the same in terms of resistance. But it's important to change the technique accordingly. So we are just, you know, we learned a lot from analyzing and seeing and teaching, and I think people need to understand what's going
on. So you certainly have not seen any evidence of weakening of the anterior capsulotomy.
No, definitely not. Mm-hmm. Definitely not.
Okay. No. Now, one of the other things that's been said at meetings, at least, about femto is that the cortical cleanup is more difficult because the little tags of anterior cortex that you want to grab are not there. Have you experienced
that? No, not at all. As I said, we are doing the hydrodissection and hydrodelineation usually as we used to. And the reason is I'm convinced that, for example, the so-called capsular block syndrome that has been first described with another platform is not possible with the OptiMedica system. Yeah, and the reason is that you have a totally different fragmentation, and we fired into the lens in 14 eyes under a prospective randomized, not randomized, but prospective clinical trial with ethics committee permission, and we didn't do the capsulotomy at all. And interestingly, nothing happened. Yeah, so no capsular tear or something like that, what you would think because of all the blowing up the lens and all this stuff, although we were excessively firing into the lens. So I'm convinced that this is not cannot happen and has not been reported, for example, worldwide by the users and also not for me. So I'm convinced that this is something different. And hydrodissection and delineation is done as you are used to, and all the surgeons, and we did a trial comparing coaxial standard cataract surgery with femto and monoaxial as well as biaxial, and didn't find a difference in terms of ease of aspiration, time for aspiration, and so forth. Mm. Yeah, so I think this maybe there may be differences between the platforms.
I see.
Yeah.
Now, I think I'm hearing at the meetings and from you and others that there are some very special indications for using the laser where you felt it's really made things better.
Yep.
Can you
yep.
go
well,
into that?
Honestly, there are a lot of contraindications currently. If you look at the manuals of the laser platforms, I would say these contraindications are the indication for femtosecond laser. I'm talking about small pupils, for example. We have shown and shared the technique, the surgical technique, how to do this. And if the lens is already pre-fragmented and you are just aspirating, and in my last 400 cases, I was just only aspirating, no use of ultrasound any longer. And in all these eyes, of course, the small pupils come with pseudo-exfoliation, with intraoperative floppy iris syndrome, with many other pathology around it, so they are challenging. And especially these eyes benefit most, small pupils, intermediate cataracts, for example. If you go into the eye first, inject some OVD, so there is a clear with some resistance in the AC, and then you fire the capsulotomy. It's all about the capsulotomy in these fluid, milky lenses. Right. It's really easier to do these cases. Or, for example, cornea guttata eyes. I really saw the differences if you are only aspirating or using minimal, if at all, ultrasound, that the cornea is looking pretty better and clearer on the day of surgery. disease. And for example, the pediatrics. The pediatrics, everybody knows how great the elasticity of the capsular bag is and how hard it sometimes it is to prevent an extension of the a capsule. And with this, you need a little correction factor. We were working on that because the capsulotomy is a little bit larger than you you fired. It depends on age, obviously, and the elasticity behind it. But we have done 20 eyes now with great success. But, and these eyes are really benefiting because you can do the anterior capsulotomy and you align the posterior capsulotomy according to the anterior. And this gives you a loop options for bag in the lens options and so forth.
So with the white mature lens, for example, it's under pressure. As long as you counteract that with the OVD,
right,
then the time, the 1.5 or so seconds, yes, for the capsulotomy gets through fast enough that you've never seen an Argentinian flag sign?
No. And there are different approaches. If you see, you can see it on this, because of the high-resolution OCT, you see if there is a high pressure in the lens. You see these cavitations and the pressure behind, if this is the case. Sometimes you don't see that at the slit lamp to that extent, in a Morganian cataract, for example. And in these cases, you might even go, if you don't have the possibility to go into the eye first, because the laser is outside or something like that, I would prefer to do a small capsulotomy first, and then later on redock or do a manual capsulotomy and reshoot and do a Rex's shaping or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And for dealing with the small pupils, which you touched on earlier but didn't really get into the technique, what is your preferred technique for the small pupils now?
Well, I have a strategy. That means I start with epinephrine injection. If this doesn't work, I do a viscomydriasis with high viscous OVDs. And you have to increase the treatment zone of the capsulotomy a little bit because the diagnostic pathway as well as the laser pathway is a little bit changed because the refractive index of the VISC OVD in the AC may not be the same as the aqueous humor. So you have a little offset, but you can compensate this by elevating the treatment zone. And you have to elevate also a little bit, if you are using OVD and viscomydriasis, the energy, because it's dampened a little bit, decreased, and the effect is decreased by the high viscous OVD. And if this doesn't work, because I need 5.5 something pupil size, then I inject in my Eugen ring. It's available in different sizes. Or others may use iris hook. And iris hook work also very well with this interface because you can take the iris hooks inside this interface.
You anticipated what I was going to ask you. Yes. What do you do with those hooks? Yeah.
But I would prefer and recommend on a large scale, I would say it's better to have the OVD out for the lasing then because the results were good, but were even better comparing this on the prospective scale if we took the OVD out.
Because of the focusing and the optical breakdown.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Fascinating. So now, I've always felt that, when we have these arguments about is there really a reason for this, is this all just industry pushing a laser, that just as with phacoemulsification, that really only came of age when we had small incision lenses, but we never would have had small incision lenses without phaco, that the same was going to eventually play out here and that the femto would enable us to go to places we can't go right now technologically. What are your thoughts on that? Where do you think this is going to take us?
Ooh, there are many things to explore. One thing might be a femto IOL that's fixated in where you have the rim in the optic and the anterior, the lens is put into the back, as you are used to, and you are fixating the optic, the capsule in the optic. The capsulotomy is done and is centered, and then you have the chance to fixate it. It gives the potential advantages are that there is a good predictable effective lens position with low changes anterior posteriorly because you are not that dependent on capsule back shrinkage, and the back shrinkage would just fixate the lens and prevent rotation in toric lenses, center it the multifocal according to the line of sight or close to where you want it to sit, and many other interesting options. Yeah.
So you're a believer in line of sight centration?
Well, I'm using the scan capsule rather than the pupil because I don't think the pupil centration, if it's wide, it doesn't matter. But if it's a little bit smaller, I wouldn't go for pupil centration just for the so-called scan capsule. That means that you take into account the anterior surface curvature, posterior curvature, as well as three-dimensionally analyzed a certain line there. And you can nicely predict the position of the lens preoperatively or intraoperatively at that point. Yeah, and I think that's better rather than the pupil centration, because sometimes pupil does not dilate well, sometimes it's asymmetric, yeah, and other issues. So there's a lot of things to improve currently, but we are already on a very high level where we start with this new technology.
Have you heard anyone or had your own thoughts about whether the femto will finally get us to the point where we have a true accommodating intraocular lens, and how that would happen? Or is that still...
That's a very optimistic approach, I would say. Still,
We all hope.
But there are a lot of things to explore. Currently, I would say still we are far away from a true accommodating IOL.
Well, we can always hope we're going to get there.
Yes.
Well, I'd certainly like to thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
Thank you, the audience, for spending this time with us. I'm Dr. Roger Steiner with Dr. Burkhard Dick and for Medscape Ophthalmology from AAO 2013.